Well, well, Ken Phillips, the saga of Stunt Granny Studios North is about to be complete.
Yeah.
It will be Stunt Granny Studios East and Easter.
Easter. Yeah, well, I guess it could be South and East, potentially, if we wanted to try to differentiate somehow, still, by using cardinal directions, as has been our wont. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this will be actually the last episode we record here at the Stunt Granny Columbus North Studios.
Yeah, it will be. Since it's going to be too direct in the East variety, or the Southeast variety now.
sure.
I guess I'm Northeast then? Like, are we going to separate it like football divisions?
Yeah, I think we are. So, you probably would be considered Northeast Division there.
So, technically, since I'm further east, are you Southwest then?
Well, I mean, do we have to represent certain, you know, different areas? We can't overlap any of the ordinal, you know, directions. We have to each have our own quadrant. I would say Southeast for us.
I would agree. Just we are going to be on the east side of town.
Well, we definitely have to have this worked out before draft day. this is very important stuff here. So yeah, it's been a little while, so it's good to be back recording, and you know, this is a little bit of a I feel like a passing of OPA history here, to move from the old studio into what appears to be a pretty kick-ass new space there. So,
well, yeah, that is going to be really strange, actually. Having lived in this part of town for 20 years now, well, actually 19 years, I will be vacating.
You can round up to 20, it's okay.
I will be vacating the northwest side of Columbus, which is going to be a little surreal once it actually finalizes. Just because, like, everything's going to be a different direction and, like, all this stuff. Because, I mean, I have lived between Bethel and Henderson all 19 years.
That is true.
Along pretty much the same street, Kenny / Godown.
Yeah, and we were talking about how the places that you've lived in have actually been basically the same floor plan.
Yeah. The condo was the same exact floor plan as the townhouse that you and I rented. That is just around the corner.
Yes,
in every sense of the word, go down one block and over another block, and you're at the
So you've essentially
place.
Lived in one place for 20 years, basically.
Because it was only 1 year down at Old Governor's Square.
Wow, so longer than you probably lived at your parents' house.
It is to that point where both you and I have lived longer in Columbus than Altoona for a... Well, no, you would have been there full-time longer than I would have been. But yeah, I've... Because I only lived in Altoona because, you know, I was at Kent for 8 months out of the year.
Right.
So, yeah, I only lived in Altoona full eight. Well, it would have been 17 years since my parents moved there when I was one.
Ah, so you kind of edged me out there in a couple different ways.
I kind of forgot about that, too. I mean, I guess I did not live in Altoona my whole life.
Well, the auditors who would be reviewing these records certainly would not make a mistake something like that.
Of
yes.
such magnitude.
They're very strict about checking the tax records to see, like, when you actually moved and declared residency. So, yes, they would have spotted that. But it's good that you came forward. I think that can only get on their good side.
Yeah, that will lessen the the legal blows that are surely to come.
That's right. Because, you know, people are always held accountable for stuff like that these days, so...
Yeah, and one guy that, honestly, he did not seem to be held accountable for a whole lot, to be frank with you.
Oh, yeah, and this, in a way, is... Speaking of
housing situations,
how long you've lived with your parents, yes.
And how long you've lived... Yeah, there's all kinds of tie-ins.
But probably a lot of people have seen this one already, but there was a case recently where a man of 30 was living with his parents and not working or contributing to the house or the maintenance of the house, and basically just living there rent-free and I assume eating for free as well.
Yeah, they did not make that that part completely clear what exactly services he received in his parents' household.
I believe laundry was one among the services.
Yeah, laundry was among the services rendered.
But apparently he'd been living there for about 8 years from having left and then come back. So I don't exactly understand why he had to move back in with his parents. His friend did say that he had a job when he used to live on his own, but something must have went bad there because he had to move back in with his parents 8 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, I can completely sympathize with things not going your way. When you're an adult, I wish I could say that things have run smoothly in my financial life. I did not find myself back home with my parents.
Yes.
So I wouldn't
necessarily look down on someone who did find themselves back home with their parents, and I wouldn't either. I mean, sometimes stuff like that happens, and you know.
Yeah, but when you start to get to the 8 year point. I can understand why his parents felt the need to initiate a little more than gentle nudging out the door.
Yeah, and I don't know if we said it or not, but yeah, in this case, his parents were at the point where they had to deliver formal eviction letters to this
to their
man.
Son.
Yes.
Who was, and he was 30, I think, yeah, at this present time, he's 30 years old.
Yes. So, and he had not been working. And the letters, I think, are part of what makes this story kind of shareable or viral, if you will. Just because it's like, spelling out this stuff that it seems like people, should have realized before now. Like, you will need to find a job that you can find something even with your poor work history.
Yeah, I mean, it's some pretty brutal lines by the parents.
Yeah, the parents do not pull many punches. And you get the feeling just, we watched an interview with him before we recorded here today.
Because it was the follow-up, really, to the original story, which was about the court case.
Yes, he tried to sue his parents to allow him to continue living there for, what was it, 6 months he wanted?
I believe so. He wanted to build up a little bankroll before rolling out of his parents' place.
Well, they were not having any of that. They wanted him out, I think, within... 3 months, maybe that's too long. A couple weeks or something.
Yeah, I believe it was 30 days, which is enough time.
30 days, that sounds right. And yeah, I think that's reasonable. But it's very... He seemed like he would be pretty annoying. Because if he's not working or contributing towards the house, like, and just like eating there for free... apparently thinking that that's just what is owed to him. Like, I mean, I could see, like, having to move in back in with your parents, but, like, not working in that time to make any money.
Yeah.
It's hard to see what the end game is there, you know?
Well, and I do know people that have lived with their parents and paid rent and everything. They actually paid rent and did all the yard work because their parents were older. So, I mean, I can see, you know, if you, again, if, but he wasn't even doing anything like yard work. Like, he was not contributing to any household activities.
No laundry was being done by this man. I would guess dishes were probably given a pass by him.
he just always put them in the dishwasher.
Or just put them in the sink, still dirty. You know, if you're lucky. He might just leave them on the table. So, that's my guess anyway. I could see why the parents would want to get him out. This was, I think, something that everyone in America maybe... There's too few things, Kevin, that unite basically everyone in the country, and I think no matter what your beliefs are, you can say that this guy needed to move out of his parents' house.
Oh, yeah. And it just reminded me all too much of maybe someone else in my life that had to go this route, that I had to go this route, actually, with someone. Having to write a formal eviction is not really something that you look forward to, especially when it's a family member or in my case a close friend at the time.
Yes,
you know it's pretty awkward to do something like that. Like it's got to be really bad. Like, and I guess that's why I can sympathize with the parents. Like, that is not your first option.
No.
Like, because it seems like they tried other remedies to just, you know, get him out on his own. And those failed.
They tried to give him money to, like, pay to fix up his car and help him find an apartment. But apparently that was not enough to actually facilitate the move happening until they gave their... ultimatum and eviction. So yeah, it's got to be awkward for them, and I'm sure they were hoping that they could avoid doing that for many years, until eventually just
yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason probably why this stretched into 8 years. Like, yeah. They probably started thinking about it in about year five.
Mm-hmm.
Going, it's kind of been a while now.
Like, what the hell is going on with our son? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what my parents would think if I moved back in for an 8 year span.
Yeah. I mean, you're.
And didn't do anything.
You're not getting any younger. You know, are you going to just plan on retiring to your parents' house after having not lived there, or having lived there without working all your life?
And I guess I did. I just thought about it, but it's just like, are you just bringing women back to your parents' place still?
Well, that was the interesting thing that I don't know if was covered greatly in the articles, that he, I think, did have a child through some ex of his that he doesn't really have. He just has some visitation with, like, on the weekends, I think. So,
oh.
He is a fine, upstanding, you know, young man on multiple levels, it seems to me. One of the things that
I'm sure he provides plenty of support if he does not have a job.
Well, if he doesn't have a job, that'd be pretty hard to imagine. Yeah, not sure how that would work. But I mean, this guy is pretty embarrassing all the way around.
He does not have a good look on him.
Mm-mm.
At all.
No. Like I said, this is maybe, in a way, something the country needed in terms of something that everyone could rally around and agree on. This guy is a douchebag, basically.
Oh, but yeah.
He did, in the update, we did see that he moved out and is, at least at the time, had moved into a Airbnb. So not necessarily exhibiting a lot of long-term planning necessarily. Literally just something he could find by making a couple taps on his phone. But at least he did find a place to move into. So that's progress?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's something. It's not his parents' house.
That is true. And hopefully
so,
he can find something more permanent.
And honestly, hopefully we won't hear from this guy ever again.
Yeah, I guess I'd be fine with that. Normally we like to follow up on stories. I'm not sure that we want to go out of our way to follow up on this one, but...
No, that one is not on my list of need to follow ups.
Yeah, watching that video of him talking was just kind of, in a way, made me feel, like, oily somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he looks kind of greasy, just to start with, so that does yeah. not help at all.
No, I could have been aware that feeling was coming from, Kevin.
I can't think of too many things that are fried in oil from Chipotle.
That's right.
Granted, I do not go there very frequently either, so I could be wrong. But I don't feel like they do a whole lot of frying at their operation.
You know, probably those chips are fried.
The tortilla chips.
So yeah,
I'd imagine at some point there is some frying. I guess.
So there is really a good segue that we could be making, but
we did not make it at all.
Yes, that's we're just deconstructing the segue there a little bit instead of actually making it. Just a little peek behind the curtain, I guess. Chipotle. That is a good place to get tacos, Kevin.
I have never been that big of a fan. Never seems like Chipotle is in the headlines for any of the good reasons.
That is true. They have been in some bad headlines lately.
Yeah, between the salmonella frequently, it would seem. I believe that's what the problem that they've had.
It might have been listeria. No, I don't know if it was.
No, listeria like is usually more dairy related.
Yes, that's right. That was what that Jenny's ice cream had.
Correct.
So it was something bad.
But anyway.
This is actually not good either. The story that we're discussing here today. This was a little confusing of a headline, I gotta say.
It was just a long headline. Like, I actually think that it accurately describes the situation, but it's like, I feel like I just read the first paragraph of this article.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know how, like, Japanese titles are, like, strangely long?
Oh. Yes.
And, like, I think it was that in Japan, the movie Field of Dreams was called Man Meets His Father's Ghost After, you know, Bonds Over Baseball or something like that. So, yeah, this headline is in a similar vein. Chipotle manager who was fired for stealing $626 just won an $8 million lawsuit after it turned out they framed her as revenge for filing workers' comp for carpal tunnel syndrome. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpackage just from the headline.
I mean, that headline is five lines long.
Yeah, that's why I felt like I read a paragraph by the time I got done with that. That is one on-running sentence. But, I mean, it does accurately describe everything. Mm-hmm. Evidently, she did... someone took the money out of the till... on her shift, but framed her for it.
Right. So she was getting in trouble for apparently stealing money, allegedly. Then it became out that she was actually being framed, that other people were taking it and blaming her as a way to get revenge because she had sued the company for carpal tunnel syndrome. Is that? Or at least... kicked up some kind of fuss about carpal tunnel syndrome. I don't know if kicking with a fuss is the right way to say it, but she apparently was causing in the company's eyes problems, because of this carpal tunnel syndrome that she got from scooping too much guacamole, apparently.
And, you know, I don't know. People get carpal tunnel from all kinds of things. I guess I'm not surprised that if you're shucking enough avocados, that you would not develop carpal tunnel. It seems like that kind of, you know, like that scooping move and you're like using your wrist and hand action in there to properly get that scooped. I could see how carpal tunnel would happen in that regard.
Yeah, I've known that people who are working like at meat processing plants and things apparently get a lot of carpal tunnel related issues from having to do like repetitive motions to kind of like get the meat off the animal carcass and things like that.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I could see something similar happening with scooping out avocado. It's a little less gruesome, I suppose, but still
you're doing killing a vegetable, man.
Yeah, everybody's cool with that. Nobody's putting up a fuss about the vegetables that are getting slaughtered out there. That was a Tool song, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
The cries of the carrots.
Oh.
There was like a weird or eerie sort of preacher sermon at the beginning of one of their songs where it was talking about the harvest day being the apocalypse for all the plants. And he heard the cries of the carrots in his dream. So yeah, that was really only the only place I'm familiar with them actually caring about these plants that are getting killed out there, Kevin. But for some reason, people are just callous to it, I suppose. You do have to eat things that are alive in order to stay alive. Isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird.
All right. Well, that's our philosophy corner for the week.
We did not expect to go on that bender talking about this woman who was framed for stealing money.
We may have been a little off topic there towards the end, Kevin, but yeah, this is not a good look for Chipotle, I would say.
Yeah, and it was $6 million for emotional distress and $1.97 million for loss of wages.
It's so strange because it's like the jury decisions are just like all over the place. Like it seems like you're never quite sure.
Well, yeah, I always wonder how I know that someone sets the price tag, but I always feel like that can be changed at some point. And it's just like, okay, I definitely understand that they owe her money if they framed her for stealing money.
Yeah, that seemed like she was wrong there.
$7.97 million to me seems a little excessive for what should be paid out. Like, I there should definitely be money paid out. Don't get me wrong in that department. That, like, $1.97 million sounds like a lot to me.
And that was just the wages portion?
Yeah, and that was just the wages portion.
Like, I guess how long would you have to work at Chipotle to make almost $2 million?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I've almost made $2 million.
I might need to apply at Chipotle, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've been doing the wrong thing for a long time.
Damn, I mean, they kept that a really good secret that you can make $2 million working at Chipotle. That is unfortunate. I'm really regretting some life decisions now.
I should not have gone to school.
That could have been, I think that's kind of the buried lead here in this story. It really pays to work at Chipotle, apparently.
Yeah, it is much better paying than you think it would be.
So the other one is that, if this had happened, say, let's at a smaller restaurant, when somebody had been framed. Like, there's no way you could even award damages like $7 million. Because, like, there's no way that will be paid. Like, they literally don't have that money. So it is kind of strange when you factor in, you know, even if you could make $2 million working at, say, you know, mom and pop's taco house, they wouldn't be able to award you that in damages if they're not making that kind of, you know, if they don't have that money.
Oh, right.
So it is, in a way, interesting that it's, like, only the...
The rich company that could sustain a loss like this
would actually have to actually pay this this amount.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm almost always going to be on the side of the little guy going up against the big corporation.
But well, that's why I wanted to make a clear distinction between definite guilt of the company and just the size of the return.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem weird. Like,
because I feel like there are other cases where things, you know, go a little too heavy towards the, you know, defendant. It's just like, really? That much money?
Well, I believe it is, like, decided by the jury in terms of what the amount of the damages are going to be. So it's just, it seems a little, you know, not all juries are necessarily, reasoned, people.
What?
Because they are, it turns out, made up of, the citizens of this country, who maybe are not always the best at making decisions, like I would say. I don't know if that's too controversial, Kevin. We normally don't like to get into politics here, but I'm just going to say maybe not always the best at making decisions. you know, take that where you will. But then that's kind of what we see with some of these jury decisions, I feel like, because you can see cases that are, I don't know. There was a case recently where somebody was shot and killed by police, and they were awarded, their family was awarded literally 4 cents by a jury. And you have a case like this where someone is you know, wronged, like we're agreeing, but
right,
$8 million, it just is
a lot of money. It does kind of seem like you were talking about always rooting for the little man. This one seems like everyone was rooting for the little man and decided to give the big guy a real kick in the nuts.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I guess that sucks for Chipotle, but, you know, they really did do some. Those managers definitely did something wrong, so I'm really not that sad for them. But, you know, who we are sometimes sad for, Kevin, is the planet Pluto. Or, excuse me, the former planet Pluto.
Ken, what am I going to do with you?
I'm sorry. It's true. I have a little bit of a soft spot for Pluto, in its former planetness.
I do. I will always hold Pluto in some regard, simply because of the dog in Disney, and it always Pluto always seemed like a good, you know, I'm going to hit you into Pluto.
Mm.
You know, you could always think it was the furthest thing away.
Because sometimes people would threaten that, you know, well, famously on the Honeymooners, Ralph would...
to the moon.
To the moon. Alice, yeah. And that was very funny back then. But you really want to drive the point home. You're going to send them to Pluto, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, that is the sentiment behind that one.
Beyond that, I mean, what, you're going to send someone to Alpha Centauri? I mean, that just seems kind of ridiculous, you know?
Well...
Even if they were moving at the speed of light, even if you punched them at the speed of light, they would still take, like, I don't know, 2 years to get there or something like that.
Well, do you think One Punch Man could do that?
I don't doubt it, but you've got to wait 2 years for the payoff, is what I'm saying. Like,
Well, I mean, just film them along the way. Maybe get like a seasonal update every 4 months or so.
Oh, all right. I was just
like, you don't need to pay attention to it the whole time. I mean, if you're waiting for the payoff for 2 years, maybe you just look in, see that they've hit a couple of asteroids along the way, maybe get some highlights.
But I mean, in this scenario, tough. Just so I understand, in this scenario, you've like attached some sort of GoPro to the person you're punching, so that you can kind of get updates as they're going.
Yeah,
out there.
Like it's attached to my hand and it like detaches as I connect with them.
All right.
I suppose I have not figured out the logistics of this previously.
All right. Yeah. I mean, in that
you're pressing me in these regards. I guess I can come up with... I mean, that sounds like a fun Avengers weapon, right?
Like a selfie stick?
That you attach by punching someone in the face?
Yeah, I don't know if it necessarily calls to mind something that I would call a weapon, but it is interesting. It kind of like as a taunt, I think it's pretty good. I could see, maybe like, I don't know... If Deadpool was part of the Avengers, I could see him doing something like that.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, if it's good for Deadpool, I'm good for it too.
Sure. No, I'm on board. I'm pro selfie stick punch. And I think we should
actually get to the topic at hand.
Well, no, I was going to say we should invest in a startup that's trying to produce these. But sure, we can get back to the topic.
Well, I mean, are we going to have to produce a robot that can punch someone to Pluto? Is that the step number one?
A robot would be one option, I guess, yeah. It's interesting to think about, Kevin.
You don't want to nail down the plans right now on episode 105? We're going to save that for behind the curtain.
Yeah, I don't think we want to, go too deep on this well right now. We can come back later for sure. It's not going to run dry by any means, but just to, I guess, get to the article, because I did think it was interesting. The dwarf planet, I guess is what we're calling it.
Dwarf planet.
Pluto has been found to have actual, dunes?
Could
we call them dunes?
They are dunes, not of a making that you would think of.
Yes.
Naturally, one would think of dunes being sand.
That's what I'm familiar with.
This is like a sand. It's so interesting, and I guess that's what drew me into the article, really, more than anything. Just the process by which sand-like molecules forms on Pluto, or how they form on Pluto.
Yeah.
Because they do mention that it's at negative 230 degrees Celsius on the surface of Pluto.
So that's a little chilly. You're going to want to...
It seems a little brisk. You might want to dress warm, cover up every body part.
Definitely, there's a risk of frostbite, I would say, if you're not covering up properly. But, you said it's not sand particles to make these dunes, but rather solid methane. So methane that has gotten so cold that it's actually, like, frozen. Makes these little particles that act like sand, I guess you'd say, on the planet Pluto. Or the dwarf planet. Damn it. I feel like I need to put a quarter in a jar. The Pluto jar. The Pluto is not a planet jar.
Give a quarter to Neil deGrasse Tyson every time that you call Pluto.
Yes.
Planet.
Well, yeah. The Pluto is not a planet jar. We definitely need a picture of Neil deGrasse Tyson on there. Yes, of course, I meant to say dwarf planet, has these dunes made out of solid methane with enough of an atmosphere it would seem, after doing some looking into it, enough of an atmosphere to actually kind of blow these little grains of quote-unquote sand around.
Yeah, because I was trying to see if they, but they don't mention how fast the winds are there.
I did remember seeing that the atmosphere is 1/10,000th as thick as the Earth's atmosphere. So it's really not much of an atmosphere.
No.
But they said that most of the atmosphere, such as it is, comes from gases that are sublimating from the surface of the planet or from the rocks. So, like, turning from a solid into a gas through being heated up a little bit, I guess, from the sun, maybe.
Yeah, it heats up to negative 200 degrees Celsius.
Right. And I guess that's enough to the, for the the gas to actually turn back into a gas. So that kind of jets off a little bit of an atmosphere. So that's the only way that they have any wind at all. And it, like we said, it's not much, but it is enough to kind of blow these little pieces of sand around as that as those gases are being released. They kind of can lift the sand into the air, or the methane crystals. And then they are blown around by the wind that is naturally on the surface there. I don't know if you've ever remembered or ever read a book called The Little Prince.
I do not believe I have read that one.
There was an animated film version that came out recently on Netflix. We were watching it the other day. And I was put in a mood, or it reminded me of that, because in the story, the little prince is from this little planet that only has like three volcanoes and a rose on it, and you can like walk around it, like it's in the picture, it's like this big with the prince being like this big, so it's maybe like an asteroid or something, like a dwarf planet, Pluto scenario. And the idea that even this little planet, like, the story seems ridiculous. Obviously, it's not meant to be literally true. But it's interesting nonetheless, and I think a good book for young people to read, or whoever, however old you are. But it reminded me of the idea of Pluto, because when reading this story, or the article talking about how there are still dunes on Pluto, even though it's so much smaller than the Earth. It's just kind of interesting to think about. There could be
a little
planet out there.
Yeah. Well, even the temperature difference, like realizing that, like, it's just kind of interesting to have something, a similar effect end up happening in such a different manner.
Yeah, it's like a convergent or a divergent evolution or convergent evolution, I think is what it's called, when like different species develop the same sorts of
defense mechanisms or something.
Yeah, or yeah, adaptations.
Yeah, okay.
You could say in general, I guess. Maybe like bats and birds both have wings, but they kind of got them through kind of divergent ways. Or, dolphins and fish both have fins, but they got there through different ways.
Gotcha. That sort of thing.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, I think.
Also cool stuff in space.
Oh, speaking of cool stuff.
Yeah, I guess when I saw the headline, I didn't completely maybe grasp what was going on here. Or the difficulty therein of trying to make a helicopter fly on Mars.
Yeah. So this would be basically a drone that they want to send to the red planet in order to take pictures and kind of travel around a little, not over ground. it's a... Now... What did you find to be the problem, Kevin? in trying to fly a helicopter on Mars.
And I was, oh, because I,
well,
yeah, because, oh, well, they aren't hoping that it's going to take very long flights, because they're only hoping that it's going to go about 10 foot.
Yes. So just, you know, 10 feet at a time, it's going to have,
yeah,
rechargeable, solar powered, you know, batteries that it will, charge up for little short flights, it sounds like. But the problem being, is that the atmosphere on Mars, while not as...
Oh, yeah, is less than 1% as dense as Earth's. So and it says Mars is the equivalent of flying 100,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah, so that's like,
so you're way up in the atmosphere at this juncture.
Yeah, I want to say you're close to 20 miles up in the above the Earth at that point. So that is pretty crazy. I think you would most people would say that's in space, I would think.
Yeah, I do believe you'd be considered in space. At 100,000 feet above the Earth.
Yeah, so I can I think we can understand there'd be a problem with flying a helicopter at that sort of elevation, but apparently they think they can do it, Kevin.
Yeah, which is pretty neat, and I mean, I guess it's kind of cool that they realize how tough it is, and I mean, 10 foot's better than nothing, especially if you can get it to recharge and keep on hopping. Like, it's always fascinating just trying them landing it and then getting it out of a craft is crazy to me.
From here on Earth.
Yeah, from here on Earth.
Yeah.
And we've talked about space junk before and how more and more is just piling up there and kind of like around the ocean. Which will be for another week.
Mm, that's a nice bit of foreshadowing.
But you know, there's just a lot to dodge on your way to Mars, and the fact that you know they're going to be able to deploy a craft that's going to space hop in very very thin atmosphere. Is pretty crazy. So they also mentioned that the wingspan is going to be 10 times that of what it would the equivalent would be on Earth to you know to make up for this change in you know to help with lift.
Right. The object itself without the blades on it would be I think the size of a softball, they said. But then with the blades, of course, it'd be much bigger to be able to fly around in that thin atmosphere.
Yeah, and I mean, you can imagine just, I mean, with as small as they make things, though, today, I guess it's not surprising that they could make something small enough to fly up there and to be able to do this, too. Like, you don't need a lot of space to put a camera on something these days.
Yeah, and people are, you know, at home kind of making their own drones these days, so...
Oh,
you would think that at the very cutting edge of things, NASA would be able to make something that would be pretty, pretty tiny to do the job.
Cause, I believe that, oh yeah, the mission isn't until 2021. So, I mean, they do have a little bit of lead time to work on this problem if they had not previously thought about it. And I'm sure that someone probably previously thought about it.
Hopefully it wasn't like, I thought you were thinking about it. No. Look, Dave, obviously that was your job to be thinking about how we're going to fly this helicopter on Mars. Oh, no. Yeah, one of those things where everybody thought it was somebody else who was supposed to be thinking about something. Sometimes stuff like that happens, Kevin. I don't know if you ever noticed. But If not, then things should be fine.
Yeah, well, whether Dave needed to think about it or not, again, he has 3 years to to think on it.
Well, listen, if Dave is listening to this, I don't think we should be sending that message that, you know, he has 3 years. Don't procrastinate, Dave. Get on it now. Sort out the problem. And then you can put your feet up and relax for a couple of years, probably.
Oh, yeah. And it was pretty crazy, too, because they had the little rover in this article on Vox.com, too. And it has a little, you know, it just looks like a little six-wheeled mobile with an arm on the front of it. Nothing fancy, but...
Looks a bit like a luggage carrier, maybe, or something like that. Well, not exactly like one, but it reminds me, it has a similar character to it, I'd say. To like a cart or wagon sort of situation.
Yeah, because they called it a mash between Wall-E and a golf cart.
That's a fair assessment, yeah.
Yeah, not nearly as cute as Wall-E, but we'll take it.
Yeah, that is a real problem there.
I guess NASA needs to work on cuteness for their vehicles.
It's like they're so focused on function for some reason.
Why is it function over form? Really? That is not what they taught me in school, in architecture school.
Steve Jobs would be rolling over in his grave if he knew that was what we're sending to Mars. This could be the first bit of Earth culture that some alien species sees out there. Anyway, that's maybe for another day as well, Kevin. I don't want to go on my, putting our best foot forward to aliens, let's design computer robots, you know, rant. But I'll save that one for later.
Yeah, that's good. When we have another alien topic, I think that'll work out quite nicely.
Okay. I'll put that one in my back pocket for now.
just like the foreshadowing. Shortish episode, but that's fine by me. You were very generous in the Bell Time beer of this week, because I did not do a show yesterday. Three Floyds Laser Snake. These guys are out of Munster, Indiana. Their beverages always seem to be quite tasty. And this one was no different. Very had a nice citrusy tang to the hops, but it did have a pretty at least a little bit of a bitter backbone to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like all floral.
It wasn't like it hit you on the head sort of hoppy flavor, but it is there.
Oh.
At first, I felt like I couldn't. Pick up on the hops as much, but then after further review, there is some hops in there. And it is a IPA. I swear I saw them refer to it as an Indiana Pale Ale, which, you know, I appreciate a good pun.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that would have been outstanding. I mean, why wouldn't a brewery in Indiana do that?
They had a previous favorite beer of mine, Alpha King by, Three Floyds.
Oh, and that is, an outstanding, beverage for sure.
And, it would be interesting to try them kind of, in, tandem, just to see which would, get the nod as my favorite necessarily, but,
yeah,
I would say I like them both.
Because this one clocks in at 7%, 55 IBUs. So, yeah, the 55 IBUs is usually something more a level you'd see in a regular pale ale. So this is on the low end of the hop scale.
Oh, you'd say so?
For an IPA.
Gotcha.
But, quite tasty. I am a fan.
Yes, and so, I feel like that's maybe something that's a little more, I'm not sure how widespread available they are, but at least more widespread than some of the stunt granny brews that we've had here.
Yeah, since we can get them on a regular basis, they certainly have a larger dealership.
Yeah.
Or distributorship, actually, is probably the best word to use.
So they are, like we said, in Indiana, but they're right outside of Chicago. So it's possible a lot of people, if they're in the Chicagoland area, have heard of Three Floyds as well. So at least that far. I don't know if they could go all the way out to the coast or not, but who knows, Kevin?
Yeah, check their website.
I guess that's one way there. We could figure that out.
Yeah, and I don't feel like doing that because I'm good with wrapping this thing up.
All right, Kevin, I'm right there with you, man.
At DeFrango11, at Gozer33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us wherever you listen to us because we would be very grateful. And we are out.
See you later.